Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's 12:36. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Dennis Rodkin is in the studio. He writes about real estate for Crane Chicago Business and comes down from time to time when he feels like squeezing us in. So thanks for your presence today, Dennis. We're always better when you're here. And Dennis usually comes by with great news when it comes to the housing market. Wait, that's not true.
No.
Dennis usually comes by to tell us just how badly we're doing when it comes to housing in this state.
I bring my dark cloud with me.
And like Pigpen in the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Exactly.
And so there's the new study out of 100 cities in the U.S. and their forecast for the housing market next year. And we come in dead last?
Dead last for the second time. Yeah, we were 100th in the forecast for 2017, and we were in our 100th in the forecast for 2019. We moved up to 84 last year.
Wow.
The forecast for this year. This has a lot to do with a lot of it just has to do with the fact that while we are recovering, others are
recovering faster.
Well, they're recovered and moving ahead. We have job growth, but it's not as fast as other places. We have home value growth, but it's not as fast as other places. And so this forecast from Realtor.com, which is a pretty credible forecast, and you saw the story. I went back and looked at how they did with their forecast for 2017 compared it to our market and how they're doing so far this year. They tend to be pretty accurate. And what they're forecasting for Chicago is the weakest of 100 markets.
So
sales
not
down
only,
and prices
right,
down.
So not only the number of sales will drop,
right?
The prices will drop.
Yeah,
that's a double whammy. And of the 100, there are only three or four cities that have both indices
that
dropping?
Have both going negative, yeah. And let's just be careful about the word drop. They have sales coming down about 7%. They only have prices coming down, I think it's 1.5%,
right,
which wouldn't really be a drop. It's more sort of a slight decline or flatness.
Even the author of the report sort of told you that she didn't find the numbers too troublesome.
No, that one of the reasons prices will come down is that we're still in a low inventory situation. A lot of other cities, that has improved. That's been going on all over the country for a couple of years. We still have tight inventory, and so a lot of people don't buy, just can't find what they want, so prices don't.
Okay, that explains it for
up.
Me, because I've had a lot of simple questions this week,
yeah.
And that's one of them. I'm thinking, wait a minute, if we have a low inventory, I would think that would drive prices up. But what you're saying is that because there are so few homes to choose from, people are just not buying?
Yeah, you know, one of the problems we've had for a while is that a lot of the inventory is sitting still. Something good that comes on the market, something fresh, refreshed, decorated to today, or finished to today's standards, those tend to go quickly at almost any price range in almost any part of the map. But there are a lot of properties where either you couldn't afford to or you simply decided not to bring it up to date. And those, or they have problems, or it's the biggest house in the neighborhood and things like that. And those have tended to just sit and sit and sit. So one of the problems we have is that a lot of the inventory on the market is, I don't want to say unsellable, but very difficult to sell.
And is that in the south side lakefront area, the south suburbs? Is that what, I know you just put up a story about the south lakefront area.
I don't know that that would necessarily be what, it figures into the south part of the city. What I found out today, what I reported today, is that Hyde Park Township, which is larger than Hyde Park neighborhood, it essentially runs from Grand Boulevard all the way down to the Indiana line, is the only township of all the townships in the city and suburban Cook County where home values, the estimate of home values by the Cook County assessor are down in the past 3 years. It's a three-year cycle. You know this. They
right.
do one half of Cook, the other half of Cook, and then the city.
And you know which part of the city by the outcry.
And exactly,
yeah.
Right. And so earlier this year, I was reporting on these enormous increases in areas around Logan Square and Lincoln Park and Lakeview. People are upset there because you're estimating my home value has gone up so much that obviously my tax bill will go up as a result. In the south part of the city, in parts of Hyde Park Township, where values are down in the double digits in 2018, 14-18%, not all of Hyde Park Township, the average overall is much smaller than that. That does mean that their property tax bills won't be affected, but it also means their household wealth isn't going up, their ability to sell isn't going up, and the neighborhood tends to sort of linger or
languish.
Is
it a jobs issue? I mean, what's going on there?
I think that's part of it. That's something we've talked about. In fact, I just talked about a few minutes ago, but you and I have many times, is this lack of employment is really... A fast-moving employment base, it creates a fast-moving real estate base, and there's been higher black unemployment in this city than general unemployment. There's the problem with Southeast Side neighborhoods. One person told me who's lived there his entire life is they're still trying to recover from the loss of steel in the 1970s. Right. Those were steel worker neighborhoods. And this, he said, is one of the reasons they're still in decline, is that there hasn't been a replacement of that employment base.
And you referred to it a little bit just a few minutes ago, but there also then was a study from the Brookings Institute about the difference in segregated neighborhoods and how that hurts when it comes to equity for African-American homeowners.
You know, it's a really interesting study. I will say I was surprised that we didn't rank higher on the list.
Segregated cities?
Yeah. So they did a very careful study. It's not, comparable homes, three bedroom, two bath here in a majority black and a majority non-black neighborhood, that sort of thing. But they also looked at school quality and restaurant frequency and all those sorts of things, tried to really get comparable homes, and found that essentially, on average, homeowners in majority black communities in Chicago are missing about $38,000 in home value. Overall, across America, it's about $15 billion that people who live in majority black neighborhoods are missing from their home equity. And that, again, makes it has an impact on your household wealth. It makes it more difficult for you to sell. It makes it more difficult for you to tap that equity to either repair the house or invest. It's problematic.
It's a stretch, maybe, but, you know, we talk about minority startups and things like that, and how the first round of funding is often friends and family. Well, this is an example of, because of where the homeowners might live, that friends and family equity that they might invest in their niece's business or nephew's business isn't necessarily there where it would be if they lived in a predominantly white neighborhood.
That's a great point that I hadn't really thought of. I think of home equity as what you use for, like, your children's education or taking care of an elderly parent, those kinds of things. But that too, the problem of household wealth for black household, or the problem of the inability to build household wealth for black households, has all kinds of ramifications, right. And that's a really important one I wouldn't have thought of.
Dennis Rodkin writes about real estate for Cranes. Hey, Dennis, Black Friday, you know?
Yeah.
I actually ponied up and bought a subscription to Cranes.
Did you really?
After all
Thank you very much.
Of taking your stuff for free, I took the responsible route, and now I'm a paying customer.
That's great. I'm sure that some of that will end up in my bank book.
As opposed to what I give you every week for coming by here?
Exactly.
You wrote a piece about house flipping, and we've talked about flipping in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still going on? Is it dying out, or what's going on?
Still going on. It looks to me as if 2017 is very likely to have been the peak. What I said on Twitter is flipping is slipping. Everything is changing. The primary thing is that the numbers are down considerably. First three quarters of the year, about 4,000 homes flipped in the Chicago area. In 2017, there were over 7,000. So unless we have a whole lot to happen flipped in the last 3 months of the year, 2017 will turn out to have been the peak. They're also selling for less and taking longer to sell.
So are they out of homes to flip, or are they just
in part, this is good news. One of the things that one of the major things that fueled the flipping wave is the huge foreclosure inventory we had. Chicago had the biggest in the nation. We had this enormous overhang, especially in the south and west sides and the south suburbs. And a lot of that has been mopped up by these rehabbers. We've talked about this over time. Tens of thousands of homes flipped in those regions, in those areas, as well as farther out, and there just aren't as many foreclosed homes now.
Okay, now, since we're talking about this, it kind of reminds me of something else we've brought up from time to time. But during the housing crisis, you talked about how there were big real estate companies, I think they were real estate companies,
right,
buying up homes and renting them out with the idea that when things recovered, they would sell them. So where are we with those, and why wouldn't that inventory be on the market?
Well, that inventory would be separate from this flipper.
I understand that.
Those are all fixed.
I've jumped off.
But most of those are still
Rentals?
Rentals, okay. Yeah. I think a lot of the problem is, well, there are two problems. One, they bought so many they can't sell them as a lump. There have been a couple of portfolios put on the market and not sold.
Mm-hmm.
There was one 5-6 months ago that was put on the market that didn't move. But the other problem, the other thing is, this comes back to something I mentioned, like a broken record. Our market is not recovering quickly, so the recovery on your investment would not yet probably be where they wanted it to be.
So the money they put into it, they might not be getting out of it.
It's very likely.
Were they buying these group, the several homes, with the idea of selling them as a group or selling them back individually?
Well, a couple of the firms, well, yes, both.
Okay.
Generally, the idea was, we'll amass this portfolio, and then as time goes by, I did a story, it might be 5 years ago, about one of the big buyers. They said, well, what we don't want to do is, you know, we've bought several hundred homes. We don't want to put them all on the market at once because
we'd be
selling against ourselves,
right,
essentially, and pull prices down. But again, there was this one portfolio a rehab company had built up, and they wanted to sell it just because they didn't want to be landlords anymore. But for the most part, the idea is sell them in dribs and drabs over the years to prop up.
Of course. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Why would you want to put 100 of your own homes on the market,
exactly,
at the same time?
So you deacquisition them slowly.
All right. So I know that the forecast for home sales next year is sort of bleak in the area. I have an idea.
Okay.
Take the home you want to sell,
uh-huh,
and price it at $4 million.
That works.
Right? I mean, that would make it a hot commodity.
It is astonishing to me. Just before I came up here, I found there's a new sale today at $6.9 million. So that puts us at 71 sales so far this year at $4 million and up.
Which is a record.
Which is beyond a record.
Way,
yeah,
beyond.
The most we've ever seen in a year in the Chicago market, which is not just the city, is 52. That's a couple of years ago. Last year, there were 46 sales at $4 million and up in 12 months. And as of today, in 2018, there are 70.
So is this another haves and have-nots? We go from, you know, the south side where homes are still underwater to the north side and north suburbs where they're selling for $4 million?
Yeah, it's two markets. We've had two recoveries going on for quite a while. A lot of these people are probably, I don't know how they afford them, but people have told me
that's all we do. I've driven. How do they afford that?
Exactly. But a lot of the developers and things have said quite a bit of it is stock wealth from the run-up in the stock market. So obviously that doesn't bode well for next year. And some of it is very strategic planning by a couple of developers building super fabulous places to the tastes.
We're talking about the building on Walton.
Yeah, Walton,
okay,
and others have really designed it to be what the $4-6 million buyer will go for.
We've only got 10 or 15 seconds,
okay,
left. So if homes are selling for a lot of money,
mm-hmm,
and homes aren't selling in some spots, should we be worried about the 100 ranking if we're selling? Because maybe it just depends on where we are within this market.
Well, I don't know what you mean by should we worry.
If we're ranking 100, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we're ranking 100 because of some really bad selling areas. And overall, if we're selling in Buffalo Grove or Wheeling or LaGrange, our market's going to be better than 100.
Yes. Everything is super local in real estate. And some of the figures we've just talked about are regional. And there is a distinction, but a difference between those two. But we should keep in mind that we all rise and fall together. We are one,
right,
municipality, and if somebody in the region is unemployed and abandoning a home, that does at some point affect mine.
Check it out at chicagobusiness.com. Dennis Rodkin, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.